independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 20th, 2016, coming up on the darkest, longest night of the year. And how? It certainly couldn't be any darker. It's going to be a four-year-long night, just saying. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio and four-year ray of light at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Today's guest, we were hoping to get James Henry on to talk about Russia and Vladimir Putin and our tutelary emperor, the Trump. It's just impossible. It is possible, but at this point, why make the effort to speak in a respectful tone with regard to the president-elect? And we all bear responsibility for what happened, and we have a tremendous amount of work ahead. It's time to quit your day job, eh? Right. So that said, James Henry coming up tomorrow. We have breaking news, however, on the Elliott State Forest, and we are going to be speaking with Nick Cady today with Cascadia Wildlands. Nick has been a constant and steady source of news on the fate of the forest, and it's well that this has happened right now because it stands very little chance of happening under a Trump presidency. And brace yourself because the trees are going to start falling right now. Until there's nothing left but silence, when the very last tree is felled, that's when they'll stop. And it's going to go on for 4 years, millions and millions of years of growth of a forest, many, many forests, in which so many species co-evolve together. Many species will be lost. The marble murrelet is just it's the murrelet in the coal mine. And very likely the coal mines will be the only place left for the murrelet to hide. There'll be plenty of those, however. So fly, monkeys, fly is all I can tell you. We have Nick Cady on the line right now to talk to us a little bit about what just happened. A U.S. District Court in Eugene issued a preliminary ruling preventing Scott Timber from clear cutting. Can you take us through the steps of how we got there? And I want to ask you also a little bit of background on this and how the background is going to determine where we go in the future. And welcome very much. We wish you a huge welcome to KBOO Airways as always.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris. Just to reiterate, last night, Judge Ann Aiken, Federal District Court in Eugene, issued a preliminary injunction, which is temporary, but it halts the logging of this project until we can kind of have our expert witnesses weigh in, but halted a fairly large logging project in legitimate, beautiful, old-growth coastal rainforest that's inhabited by the marble murrelet. And so we're pretty encouraged and excited by this ruling because, as you were getting at, it has a lot of important implications for a number of other things going on in the state right now.
That said, how does this have any effect on other pending timber sales? Not throughout Oregon, of course, but in greater Cascadia. Does this have any precedent that we might be able to do fall back on in the event that timber companies and are going to be given free rein? And this is basically what Trump's Secretary of the Interior has said, is that it's going to be open season on trees, not just open season on the birds that happen to be sitting in the trees, open season on the whole works.
Well, yeah, so this case is important for a number of reasons. I think first, it has a direct bearing on the ongoing process to sell the Elliott State Forest to Lone Rock Timber Company. We've talked about this on your show before, mm-hmm. but there is a process to sell the Elliott State Forest at this enormous discount to a private timber company out of Seattle and some investors out of Seattle. But this case cast serious doubt on the ability for them to log these old-growth forests inhabited by endangered species. The state of Oregon, when it was selling these lands or attempting to sell these lands to private timber companies, falsely represented that they could get away with killing endangered species, which is not true. And I think this ruling directly establishes that. So it's important for that reason. I think the other massive importance of this case is that in Oregon, the state logging laws are so weak. All you have to do is give 15 days notice and you can clear cut substantial amount of acreage absent anything else. And so there's never been kind of a big Endangered Species Act ruling against a private timber company. And this is the first time that we've achieved that. So it's important for that reason as well.
It is, indeed. And I think a lot of people in Oregon, across the state, certainly in activists clustered mainly in Oregon, Portland and Eugene, and to a certain degree Bend, and assume because of all of the little stickers, little green shape of Oregon and so forth, they love Oregon a lot. That because of those things that we're pretty green people, but it turns out that we Oh, and we are going to be fighting these battles and many more, especially once states are, you know, are given the right to determine what happens to the forest, and there is going to be outcry in the hinterlands that we should be farming the forest, we should be farming the high desert and so forth, we should be working the land. I mean, they're going to, it just goes to waste sitting there unless you ride an ATV through it, then it's somewhat useful, but other than riding an ATV through it, it's utterly useless just sitting there doing nothing. So this is a huge problem, and we do take it for granted that there are stricter laws. How is this going to change? I want to know more about the laws. Is it possible to go ahead now based on this evidence and change that law, get it that tightened up, hopefully, before the trees are gone? And they will be gone. I mean, if you think that you can stay home and there'll be an activist down there in Salem waving a sign around and in the pouring rain, that's not going to happen. They're going to cut it down, all of it. And I also wonder if there's any chance. The idea of constantly invoking this prehistoric constitutional piece of tripe that says schools, that this is how we're going to fund schools. It's a ridiculous, ancient, outmoded, outdated law. There are other ways to fund schools. Think about it. I mean, there are now companies that make microchips and so forth, the call centers They're call centers, littered, huge buildings all over the place. What a great idea. Maybe not perfect, but certainly better than cutting down forests. Why not do something like that? That's a continuous, more reliable source of revenue for schools that does not endanger what's supposed to be the legacy we're leaving school children. When are we going to address that problem of the school funding nugget that has been tossed in the lap of timber companies?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that there are many, many potential solutions for the Elliott State Forest that don't involve just selling it to a private timber company. We're talking about an 88% discount on the appraised value of this land is what they want to sell it to a private timber interest. Which
I'll
is
say that again. I don't
ridiculous.
Think people. I don't think anybody got that. 88% discount. So we're just
88% discount because of the presence of this marble murrelet. So they're selling it when it's
great. That's wonderful.
Over $1 billion. Yeah, it's crazy.
So they like the marble murrelet too, just like us. Common ground, right there. You know. Thank you, little murrelet. You've made my day a happier place to live. Right. So, what about the time element here? If what would it take to draft laws that would protect forests? Habitat. You cannot take the creature out of its habitat and expect that you're going to preserve it in any way, because once the habitat is gone, the creature is functionally extinct. It's extinct because the creature and the habitat are one and the same. This is what we're seeing with animals all across Africa, where the zoos are making millions, billions of dollars, raking it in, saying they're saving species. Well, they're not. They should close the zoos and spend the money on buying up land and preserving the habitat. That's so clear.
Well, yes, the reason we have the Federal Endangered Species Act is to protect not only these species, but more importantly, the habitat. And so, like you said earlier, the murrelet functions somewhat as a canary in the coal mine for old-growth rainforests, which have just been hammered throughout the Pacific Northwest and in Oregon and the Coast Range in particular. But I think you raise an interesting point as well about the incoming Trump administration, the very fundamental laws that we have in this country, one of them being you cannot kill endangered species, those are going to be at risk. And so I think it's important when you talked about the state of Oregon, I think it's important that we start taking measures in our own state and reform in Oregon of our environmental laws and laws to concerning natural resources and species have been improving, and we've been making steps, especially with the Murrelet lately. But it is a grindingly slow process. Despite our supermajority of Democrats in the state. And so I think an increased emphasis needs to be placed on those efforts while we just try to prevent irreparable damage on the federal front in the meantime.
That is what we should be looking at seriously right now. It's going to be a great deal more than direct action, but it is direct action. All of this is based on direct action. Everything that you do, anytime you show up for any of these, any kind of action on behalf of Oregon's last few standing forests, that counts. I want to thank you so much, Nick, for joining us again today. This is huge. I didn't want to use that word. This is very great news. And there's more, of course, at Cascadia Wild. And we have all kinds of references and places to go to find out more about this. I want to just briefly, before we take... I do want you to know that there is a book. It is called War with Russia. It's an urgent warning from a senior military command. This is a truly chilling information in there. And it was written as semi-fiction. Now it's become a horrifying reality. We could be at war with Russia in a matter of 60 hours. That's the long end of it. Probably much less than 60 hours we would be at flat out war with Russia. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, December 20th, 2016. Derek Crooks is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Judy Feustel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. And I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings